Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, everyone. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, the 5th of April of 2021. And I am your host, the Miracle Man, and I do apologize for the late start. We had a couple technical difficulties, but we've got that sorted out. But we're back on now, so we are good there. As for, I don't have all the details on these technical difficulties, because what happened was I had, logged in like I always do, and it had given me the notification of nothing for the next 24 hours. But now we're on. So that, of course, is good to note that we are back live on the air. So without further ado, I do want to get right to those couple of announcements that I give every episode. The first one being that I do want to encourage you to please go online to riversofmiracles.com. That's R-I-V-E-R-S ofmiracles.com to find out information about our book, Rivers of Miracles. I call it our book because I didn't specifically write it. But it's about me. And it's a really good, it's the story of my life. And everything that God has helped me through. And I want to remind you of something, listeners, that's real powerful. The victory is greater than the battle. The victory is greater than the battle. So whatever it is that you're going through in your life, whatever that battle is, the victory is always greater. And you might be like, Miracle Man, then why did my father or my mother or my friend or whatever, why did they pass on to heaven? Well, about that, going to heaven is a promotion. Now, I'm not sitting here suicidal or anything like that when I say that. What I mean is, that's the ultimate prize. Is getting to go to heaven to be with my Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, at any rate, the victory is greater than the battle. Even if maybe it could be that you lost someone on earth, well, if they knew Jesus, they ended up getting to be with the Lord. And let me tell you, heaven is a better place than earth. And if you're sitting there thinking, I'll miss this earth. I'm sad that it's the last days, and I want to stay on earth for a super, super, super long time. Heaven's better. Heaven's better. And so, heaven's better than earth, even on the best of earth's days. They're the best of what earth has to offer. But I don't want to get into a rabbit trail or anything, but go online to the website and find out how you can get that book in your hands. And then after you read it, why not give it away to someone else, because the more people that hear about this book, the better. And why not buy one for yourself and maybe buy one for someone else? And it's a great story. I'm not going to give away everything about the book and just sit here on my show and soapbox everything about it, because otherwise what incentive would you have to read it? I've given you bits and pieces before, and that's fine and that's wonderful, but if I just tell you everything, you would know this, Brian. If I just told everything, what incentive would someone have to read it? So that's why I don't just sit here and take all the time of every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night of the world to tell everything about my book. Because then it wouldn't really be a show. It would just be a book infomercial. So why not go and buy the book and be blessed and be encouraged as you read it. And yes, there's stuff in there about battles, but the truth of the matter is we all go through them. Even though for every person the battle might be different, we all have them, and that's the truth. And if God's on our side, we win. And I truly believe that. So let the book be a blessing to you. The other thing I want to remind you real quick about is sowing seed into the Miracle Man program. And you can go online to paypal.com in order to sow your seed into the Miracle Man program. And when you sow a seed into the Miracle Man program, it's good ground. It's good. This is good, fertile ground. It's not thorns. It's not rocky places. It's good ground. It's not those other kinds of ground like that story in the Bible where the farmer goes to sow his seed and falls around the path, birds eat it, falls on rocky places, and this happens. Then thorns, and they get choked up. This is good ground. And so go online to PayPal, and when you get on there, you type in my name, River Shukla. Again, that is RYVERS, and then the last name is Shukla, SHUKLA. And about that, two quick things. Number one is these little things are just a couple of quick notes so that it goes to the right place. The first thing I want you to keep in mind, please, is that the first R in Rivers and the S in Shukla are both capitalized. Related to that, I also want to remind you that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. And so I always make sure to remind you listeners about that, so that way when you sow your seed, it goes to the right place. And so, it's another thing. And I always pray for your seed when I get notification that seed has been sown. And the verse I want to sow into you tonight about that is, for God so loved his only begotten Son, John 3:16, for God so loved his only begotten Son that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And he gave something. And the seed he sowed was his only begotten Son. But my question to you would be, what are you believing for in your life? Maybe it's something for yourself. Maybe it's something for a loved one. Maybe it's a prodigal that you believe in God for to return home. Whatever it is, do you believe in God for something like that? Write it down. As you sow your seed. Because when you do that, when you sow seed like that, you're putting action to your faith. And we know that faith without works is dead being alone. Dead being alone. And so God bless you as you sow your seed. I'm going to get into a couple of songs, and then we are going to get into the word of the Lord for this evening as we're continuing on Easter through the account of John, because there's four different accounts that are given about what all happened leading up to the time of the resurrection of Jesus. All four accounts are different. But yesterday I started the John account, and tonight I want to, I'm not going to go through the resurrection tonight, but I'll go through like what happened leading up to the cross and Jesus showing Thomas his hands and feet and all that. Just giving you a kind of what to look forward to as far as what the plan is for tonight. And also, quick update on who won the national championship game last night. I know who it was, but I did it like that to make you guys wondering in case maybe you didn't know who it was. But I'm going to sing a couple of songs real quick, and then we're going to go into the Word. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is for my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is for my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. In the blood. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Master. Jesus' blood never fails me. Jesus' blood never fails me. Jesus' blood never fails me. Jesus' blood, Jesus' blood. Jesus' blood never fails me. Jesus' blood never fails me. Jesus' blood never fails me. Jesus' blood, Jesus' blood. At the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Glory fills my heart this way. What can separate me now? And when the earth fades, close all my eyes, and when I fail you, I know you love me. I know you love me. At the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. The glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? You tore the veil. You made a way. When you said that it is done, you tore the veil. You made a way. When you said that it is done, you tore the veil. You made a way. When you said that it is done, you tore the veil. You made a way. When you said that it is done. me. You shield my way in every season. I know you love me. Oh, I know you love me. At the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? Oh, at the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. The glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? You tore the veil. You made a way. When you said that it is done, you tore the veil. You made a way. When you said that it is done, you tore the veil. You made a way. When you said that it is done, you tore the veil. You made a way. When you said that it is done. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It is. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You said it is done. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love us, that you are right there with us, that when we call on you, that you answer us, whatever it is that we're looking for, believing for from you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, as we are in this very important season for Christians, with Holy Week coming upon us. Thank you, Lord God, that for everything that this next week that we're coming up on, everything that it represents, the different days and what it means for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for you did not have to do what you did on the cross for us. You did it for us because you love us. And now, Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for every one of these listeners tonight. I thank you that you just bless them for tuning in. Thank you, Lord God, that they will receive whatever it is that they are looking for from you tonight, that you are the God who meets the needs of those tuned in, whatever it is that they're believing for from you, whatever it is that they're looking for you to do. Thank you that you would do it for them. In your name, Jesus. And I just thank you, Master, for this word that you use me tonight as an oracle. And I just thank you, Lord God, that these listeners have ears ready to hear and that their mind is receptive and focused, and that their ears are ready to hear, that they would not be distracted by all these other things. And I just thank you, Master, for that. And now I make my confession over this program. I say, Master, that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program. Thank you, Lord God, for increases in listenership. And most of all, Jesus, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, please, to the book of John 19. Amen. John, and I am going to chapter 19, and I want to go to verse let me just make sure to find it, which one I want. It is, I'll go to verse 25. Actually, no, we'll start with 20. Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests and the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this may be claimed to be King of the Jews." This man claimed to be. Oh, I just found where I should have started. Back up to 17. So, the soldiers took charge of, this is the crucifixion. So, we read it last night. They were calling for him to be crucified. They were calling on him to be crucified. All these people were saying, "What should we do with these people?" And he said, "Crucify him." So, and then giving into their wishes, they led Jesus off to be crucified. So, we'll start at 17. So the soldiers that Pilate had called for, so the soldiers took charge of Jesus, carrying his own cross. He went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. They crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice that was prepared and fastened to the cross, and it read in caps lock, it read, and this is in caps lock, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." I put in the caps lock part. Now, it actually is written in caps lock. It's upon in my Bible, so it doesn't specifically say in caps lock like on the verse, but even though it was written in caps lock. But "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. The chief priests and the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write, the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let us decide by lot who will get it. This happened so that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, they divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her to his home. Verse 28, later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they snaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. But when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "Is finished." Oh, and by it, I'm not talking about the drink either. It is finished. Sometimes that's what I wanted to say, might have wanted to say when I was little, maybe. I didn't know. I wasn't as offended yet. But if, maybe if you're little, you have some of this medicine, and you got to drink it for whatever reason. Maybe you got an ear infection or something, and you're supposed to drink this medicine, and maybe it's real bitter. It would have been real easy for this little kid to sit there and cry out, "It is finished! It's gone!" when you still got some left. All right, enough of that. Just what came to my mind there. Oh, and they put it to Jesus' lips, and when he had received the drink, Jesus said, very powerful words. Now this is very important. "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath, because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the corpses during the Sabbath. They asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled: not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one that they have pierced. verse 38. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now then, Joseph was the disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jews. With Pilate's permission, he came and he took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds, taking Jesus' body. The two of them wrapped it with the spices and strips of linen. This was one accordance of the Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Look at the first passage of 20, where it talks about the empty tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone. The stone had been removed from the entrance. She came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved, and he said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started of the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and he believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Now you see in the next few parts that we're going to read is where Jesus appears to some certain people. First to Mary Magdalene. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head of the other, one at the foot. One at the head, one at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" They have taken away my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He said, "Why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabbanai, which means teacher. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I've seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. Verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. All right, this is where he is coming up right here, is where he appears to Thomas. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Now, folks, what you see here is Jesus. So they led him out to be crucified after what we had read last night, where all these people, they let the people choose, do you want me to have some criminals crucified, or do you want us to have Jesus crucified? They chose Jesus to be crucified and for Barabbas to be allowed to stay free. Originally, the plan of Pilate was to have Jesus set free. But the scripture, the book of John tells us, very briefly it says, it was said in previous scripture that had been pre-prophesied that Jesus would in fact be crucified in order for the scripture to be fulfilled. And because it was pre-prophesied that that's the way it would happen. And so they take him, they crucify him on the cross, and he is there, and he's in agony, total agony. And then he says that he's thirsty, and then they give him the sponge with those certain spices, the wine vinegar. He takes it to his lips, but he said, "It's finished." By it, he didn't mean the drink. He means like, he meant, it is done. And as a result of that, him dying on the cross for us, he gave us that new life through that. Later on, we read that he breathed on his disciples when he was appearing to them, and he told them, "Receive my spirit." He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," because this is where we get the Trinity from, folks. We have God the Father. We have God the Son. Jesus, who had been walking around the earth for those 33 years. And then we had God the Holy Spirit. And that's how we have the Godhead, which is the three in one. And so even though it's, but it is all three in one is what we have. And it's an awesome thing. But so you see, Thomas was not with the disciples when they were, when he revealed himself to the other disciples the first time, as well as to his mother Mary, Mary Magdalene. He wasn't there. Brandon, do you think that was the service he missed? Because he only missed one service. That was the service that he missed. That was the service that Thomas decided, oh, it wasn't that important. What? I wonder what he had that was so important. And they told the disciples, met up with them a week later. A few days later. And they told Thomas. They said, "Well, Thomas, called Didymus, the name Didymus almost sounds like Doubter right there. Just the name Didymus sounds like doubt, doesn't it? So they just, they're like, well, Thomas, we saw the Lord. And he's all like, well, really? Are you sure it's the Lord? You sure? And he says, well, unless I put my hands where his nail marks were and put my hands on his side, I'm not going to believe it. So he reveals himself to Thomas. And he says, and he tells him, blessed are those. He said, well, Thomas, you see and believe. Blessed are those who have not seen but still believe. He literally had to be shown by Jesus in order to be able to believe. He literally had to be shown. That's like having to have the evidence placed in front of you in order to notice something. And he was like, well, show me. Had Jesus not shown him and let him feel? Something tells me Thomas might still be thinking, show me, show me, show me. Where? Kind of like if you're looking for your phone and you don't know where it is. And you're like, well, show me. I need to find my phone. Are you sure this is my phone? Are you sure that this is my... Because some people, that's what they might be thinking. No, it was, sure enough, it was Jesus. And then he believed after he saw that. And so those, and you see there's five times that he shed his blood for us. And that's part of what we're going to be talking about this next week too. Tomorrow night, with Palm Sunday coming, I'm going to talk about the triumphal entry, which is a really cool thing. And that's where he is, you know, riding on the colt, the foal of a donkey. And they give him the instructions about the colt, bring this kind of colt, and it has to be this kind of colt. And they're like, let him have it. And they're saying, if they ask you, why are you doing that? And you're like, the Lord has need of it. Because he was very specific in what he was looking for. Very specific. But as I said, all four of these accounts have some differences. Because in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they don't necessarily mention as much the whole thing about Thomas and him demanding to be shown his hands and feet. For him demanding that Jesus let him feel the hands inside. And John gives all that detail. And no, I am not, you know, discrediting Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There's things in each of those three different accounts that John might not have. And that's why I like some of all three, all four of them, actually, including John. And so, in Matthew, for example, which we will look at as part of the account, talks about how Jesus tells the disciples, watch that you don't fall into temptation. Won't you pray with me for an hour? Because they were getting tired. I don't know why they were getting so tired. Maybe they were tired because they were watching their baseball team play until 1 a.m. the previous night because their baseball team was out west playing a team from out west. I don't know. He doesn't tell us that. But we celebrate it in the spring. So just saying what it could have been. That it could have been that they were watching the Tigers. Or something like that. Or maybe they had a long day at work and had a bunch of stuff to do. But that's what followers of Christ do. They'll get tired if they think. Some people, if they think the pastor is going too long, they might feel a reason to, just get out of church. Or maybe they think, pastor's probably going to be long-winded tonight, so why do I feel like I should even go to church? And he said, you won't even pray for me, sit here and pray for 1 hour. 1 hour. He didn't say five, one. And someone couldn't even spare an hour. And that's part of what we'll be talking about this next week as we continue on. Also included will, of course, be the five different times that he shed his blood. Example, the whipping post is not in John. That's elsewhere. There's Luke where his blood falls as drops of blood. His sweat is as drops of blood falling to the ground. We don't have to do that. In fact, don't do that. Don't try to sweat blood. No. He did that for you. He already did that for you, so you didn't have to. And we weren't worthy of this. He did this dying on the cross and then being raised from the dead for us. So we could have life and life more abundantly. That's why he did this. What do we do for him? What do we do for him? That's a question that we have to just look at ourselves and find out. What do we do for him? Would he be proud of us or not? Would he say, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Or would he say what he told the one talent man and call you wicked and lazy? And I'm not going to say for you, which it is. You have to find out. Each one of us do, including myself. We have to find out for ourselves. That's why it says examine yourself. But But it just represents the powerful covenant that we have. Also, we'll be discussing a little bit communion. And as part of it, he had said, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. And of course, he says, not what I will, but what you will. referring to the Father. Because in the book of John, as we found out, he gave tons of references all over about the Father. Tons of them. Loaded with them. And Heavenly Father, thank you for this word tonight. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you, Lord, do this for us, that you would just, that you loved us so much that you would bear that cross for us. That you would die and shed your blood for us and for all that we have in you. And I thank you, Lord God, that we would be able to tell people what it was that he did this for us and why he did it for us. And I thank you, Master, for that. We would be understanders and followers and hearers of the word and not doers of the word and not just hearers only. Hear it and decide not to believe it, whatever else. And I thank you, Master, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, two quick sports things really quick. First of all, Kansas defeated North Carolina. The one seed wins 72-69. I figured it would be 74-69 Kansas. And guess what? I was real close. I was close. I got the North Carolina part right, but I was couple off on Kansas, but I was real close, and I figured that Kansas would win, and sure enough, they did. And the one seed that was left won the ball game. Now the Tigers, their opening day is on Friday, April the 8th, at Comerica Park. I'll let you know tomorrow night who they're playing. And I'm feeling a bit better about the Tigers this season. Like I said last night, I expect that they will win, I would say, 87, 88 games or so. Maybe they'll do better and get 90. But my prediction is mid to high 80s. I'll go with mid to high 80s of games won. Because they were in the upper 70s last year. And if you take out most of April, they would have been over 500. But the truth is you couldn't do that because you would still I've had previous games taken out. Also, keep in mind that because of the later start to the season, there are a few doubleheaders. And as those come up, I will discuss those. All right. Until next time, God first. God always. So long, everybody, and I will see you all tomorrow night.